Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Talking earlier about Alex Mack, maybe the slight change in his tune as we approach free agency, from definitely wanting to come back here to now saying I absolutely want to dip my, you know, wet my beak in that free agency pool, as it were. And listen, the guy is the best center in the league, or certainly in that conversation. If you want Browns fans to get more of a background on Alex Mack, and includes, you know, film breakdown, film study, etc., there is a great article right now that was written by Pete Prisco, who we have on the show all the time, from CBS Sports. You can get it at cbssports.com. Check that out. It really is a great, very thorough breakdown of why he likes Alex Mack so much and why he thinks he is so important to the Cleveland Browns. And obviously we all do, and I know it's already kind of touched a nerve with you guys. We're getting a lot of tweets, getting a lot of phone calls at 216-578-0850. And just to let you know, as the show progresses, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network will be with us at 1:30. We'll do our Friday forecast at 1:45. We will also talk to Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. The Daniel Jeremiah, let me remind you, was the guy who said he was told that the Cleveland Browns want Derek Carr above other quarterbacks.
Told. He got told.
So we will ask him who told him that.
Told you.
And how confident he is in that news. So that comes up in the second hour. And, of course, Billy Cundiff, the first signing of the Ray Farmer era, will be with us at 2:15. So lots to get to. Also want to tell you a little bit of news from around the National Football League right now. Chad Henne, the veteran quarterback, has re-signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which makes you wonder, do they think that maybe they can take a quarterback later than number three overall and use Henne as a bridge? Played fairly well, I thought, in limited time last year, but they've brought him back. So interesting to note there what the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing. But we do want to talk to you, so let's go to Joe in Aurora. Joe, welcome to CBD. Let's go to Jeremy in Parma. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeremy.
What a day. I wake up, look at Twitter, and three tweets stuck out to me. Number one, Alex Mack. Obviously, you guys just got done talking about that. Him interested in going to maybe going to another team. Number two was Jarius Bird. They were talking about him wanting to stay in Buffalo. Kind of want to get your feedback on that and the whole situation with T.J. Ward. Mm-hmm. And then number three, on NFL Network, they did a poll of the top three returnmen, and they had Percy Harvin, Jacoby Jones, and a returner from New England. My question is, where's Travis Benjamin on that? We talked about it early in the year, how teams had to plan against Travis Benjamin and how deadly a threat he is. Just want to get your guys' feedback on that.
Okay. All right, well, let's start with a question for you. The Alex Mack, that caught your attention. What's your feeling about that? What's your reaction to it? Okay. Yeah. Then we won't do that. I'll say this about Travis Benjamin.
Go ahead.
I think it's out of sight, out of mind. He was injured, missed, yes, you know, the second half of the season, so he's not going to be listed.
Not enough body of work.
He's a game changer in the return game.
Not enough body of work to get on those kinds of lists. He has that ability, and he has those game-changing skills. And look, we're going to have to presume a lot here. He's coming back from a serious, serious knee operation. Now, he's by all indications, rehabbing well, doing well. But you don't know until you know. You don't know until you see him out there. This is a spindly built, very skinny-legged player who is, you know, very small and going to get hit hard and in those collisions. So the ability for him to stay healthy and in one piece is going to be a challenge. And we've seen it now. We saw the first result of small guy playing in a big guy's game, and the result is he misses, you know, half the year after getting crunched. And I hope when he comes back, he is that dangerous threat. I also believe that as the Browns go through this draft, as they go through free agent signings, including undrafted free agents, they're going to have their eye out, as every team does, for other return threats. I mean, you don't just say, well, we got Travis and we're all set, we don't have to worry about that. Not at all. I think they're going to expand their horizons and see what else they have. To the point that the caller made about Jarius Bird, look, anything and everything is on the table. I don't think the Bills have bowed out with him. I do think he's interested, actually, in staying there. Like any other guy, you know, thinking about the free agent market, he's given that a look and a thought. And you know what's occurring to him? And I've been hearing this more and more from people in Buffalo, that the Bills made a hell of an offer for him to be a top paid safety. And he went back and his agent, they talked it over and said, you know what, we should still see what's out there to see if we can get a better deal. And I think what they're finding out is that the value of the safety position isn't as great as some people might think it is, that it's actually about corners, and that when you're playing the kind of defense that even the Bills are playing now without Mike Pettine as their coordinator, that the Browns are playing now with Mike Pettine as their head coach, has, you know, the need for those good corners to be on an island, to be in lockdown coverage. And that is a priority over safety. I believe that's the mindset of the Browns, and it could very well be the mindset of other teams. So yeah, if he's going to get his number, when you think about Jim Schwartz now running a defense in Buffalo, Schwartz, he had Louis Delmas. He values safeties in a big way in that scheme.
No question about it, and certainly we'll see how that all plays out as he's been linked to the Browns. Jason Lockenfour retweeted a tweet from Ryan Clark of the Steelers, or the former Steeler, who was talking about, you know, Bird. He thinks Bird to Cleveland and Decker to Indianapolis will both be done quickly. So that's just something to kind of keep out there. Well, we're going to go to Columbus in just a second, but Columbus today, home of the Ohio State University Pro Day. And Ryan Shazier, who tweaked his hamstring at the scouting combine, tweaked it again today while running a 40, but was unofficially clocked at 4.36 seconds today, which is an unbelievable time for a linebacker. And I've actually started to see some mocks that have included him coming to the Browns in either with their first second round pick, their only second round pick, 35 overall. Some have even shown him going to the Browns at number 26 and with the thought that he could be converted inside to be that kind of sideline to sideline coverage linebacker. And certainly that kind of speed says I think that he could do some things in that vicinity.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, that's amazing speed. And Carlos Hyde, we're efforting trying to get some folks to talk with us about the OSU Pro Day today and how Carlos performed, and just get some other thoughts on that. So we are definitely going down that road with Jason Gibbs, our producer. Let us go to Johnny in Columbus. Hello, Johnny.
That's right.
Hey, guys, I just had a quick question I wanted you to weigh in. Given Alex Mack's position, the fact that the Browns have made efforts with him, and the fact that we can match an offer, if you could tell me why another team would waste the effort of even making an offer on him, and I'll leave it to you with that.
They may not, Johnny. You're right.
There could be no offers.
There could be no offers, which is – that's why when you make that tag, when you choose that particular tag, there's a fairness element from the Browns' perspective too. And what I mean by that is – Of the fact that as a center, which is third on the food chain of the O-line positions, he is still grouped in with offensive line salaries in general. So that means it's inflated by the higher money that's paid to tackles especially. So he benefits from that. If you go franchise tag, which would be just as discouraging, to maybe a little more discouraging, you're now paying about $1.5 million or so more than 10.3 as the guaranteed 1-year contract. So from the Browns' standpoint, the worst case scenario could be, or well, it's not the worst case, an ultimate outcome could be a 1-year deal, $10.3 million or so dollars, and that's the number you pay, and you could still turn some teams off to even make an offer there. Because they're saying, why do we want to do the negotiating for you? But if you've got a player who's inclined and his agent is inclined to say, hey, I really would like to try this experience, let's make this as aggressive as possible, you know, that other team, they're going to know the Browns have cap room, but this is what teams do. It's their intelligence on other clubs' moves. They try to anticipate who you're going to draft, who you're going to sign a free agency, what other money you've got to spend, who are the other offensive linemen you got to deal with, or other positions on offense you got to deal with. So they may try to structure a deal, and even though they can't, quote, put the NFL has banned the poison pills. Right, that make it impossible to match a deal. That's what they were trying to get rid of so that teams couldn't use that, go down that road of skullduggery. You like that word, skullduggery?
That is a good word.
And you know, so they couldn't do that.
Is that an SAT word?
Yes, it is. But they could come at him with a pricing point for the center, depending on their situation, that could be discouraging to the Browns. But I would say, as I sit here right now, I would anticipate he either gets matched or he ends up with the 1 year. I think the scenarios still play out with him ending up with the Browns. What do you think, Nathan? Are you less certain? Are you with me on that?
Okay. I totally agree. And I think that there is a very likely scenario that he will not get a long-term offer from anyone, that he won't sign an offer sheet. Because if he does, I believe, I don't know, but I believe that the Browns would be willing to match pretty much any offer, even if it was an offer that were to make him the highest paid center in NFL history. So to me, if somebody makes him an offer, there's a very good chance. Now that they can't put the poison pill in there that says, you know, all of this contract becomes guaranteed if he plays more than five games in the state of Ohio. You can't do that anymore. So I believe that the Browns, I believe the Browns are hoping that he signs an offer sheet somewhere.
Yeah, because then it just
then it's the done. It's not a blind negotiation anymore. Yeah. The negotiating's over. Somebody else did it. The Browns sign him and they keep him. It will be very, very interesting to see how that works out. Doug Deacon will join us when we return, but our loaded show continues to get more loaded. Ohio State Buckeyes reporter Doug LaMaurice from the Plain Dealer will be on at 2 to recap the Buckeyes Pro Day with us. So coming up, we got the Deke at the bottom of the hour. We've got we're covering the Ohio State University Pro Day at 2. Billy Cundiff, the first signing of the Ray Farmer era, checks in with us at 2:15. And then at 2:30, Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL.com and NFL Network stops by. He is one of their draft gurus. He will be with us at 2:30. So big, big show here on a Football Friday. Nathan and Vic, CBD, we'll be right back with the news.